I'm not in the video. Fantastic.
Oh, is it? Is it recording?
It says end, so I assume that it is.
Yeah,
that's just the meeting.
Tyron, is it recording?
Oh, that's not.
Usually, what's a recording at the top?
Yeah, record.
There you go.
Recording in progress.
Got it. Thank you.
It is the hero.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to call the meeting to order at 3:04. The chair asked that I mention that she's sorry she couldn't make it. She's got a sick child at home. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of August 29th, 2023.
I'll move that.
Actually, you know what? We can't.
Yeah. Exactly.
Never mind. And at this point, I'll turn the meeting over to O'Connor Davies.
Great. Thank you so much. So we just wanted to present today the draft fund financial statements. So this doesn't include the notes, just the financial statements or the government-wide. So this is just the fund level. So your governmental funds, your enterprise funds, and your internal service funds. We also have for you a chart with your preliminary fund balance chart, as well as a preliminary summary of the prior period adjustments that we found during the audit. For the fund financial statements, these are with all the adjustments posted. We did receive the GASB 87, that's your lease standard information. We did receive that on Tuesday around 4, so we went ahead and posted that. It hasn't been audited yet, but it wouldn't materially impact the fund balance numbers, so we wanted to make sure that we had those ready for you today.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, totally.
About the DSS receivables, so there's been a lot of talk about this.
Yes.
Have you figured out what the time frame is for this? Because we were talking about how many years this is spread out over, and I think that there was some misinformation in the newspaper about it, so I just wanted to clear that up. That it's, please tell us how many years this is over.
Oh, sure. So she did an analysis, I think it dated back to 2012. So she went back through all those years to determine how many, what the write-offs were written off back then, and what additional write-offs needed to be written off going forward. So she took the reconciliation that we had at the moment at the last meeting and then completed it to a point that was materially satisfactory. And so this was the net number of the prior period, which was the $12.1 million. There was about $80,000 that was written off.
Over a 10-year period, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I just want to make sure that's super clear.
But the bulk of that is in the final few years.
Is that correct?
I'll have to chart it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to try and clear up some of this.
Before we start to say it's a 10-year period, I just...
Okay.
That may be the total for 10 years, but I believe... From what I was understanding from last time, the bulk of this is the last few years.
Well, before we speculate on it on either side, let's let them chart it out.
Perfect.
Great. So I'll get that information. Well,
I think your finance department has that chart.
Yes. Yeah.
So you have the chart, so it's not something we prepared.
Okay.
The original 8, which I believe was, that was the 3-year period, right, Melissa, or 4-year period?
So there's Title 20.
She doesn't have that in this particular email, but she's got the $6 million is from 2011 to 2019.
Okay.
And then there were monies during 2019 to 22 that were posted between 691 and 692. That was 1.97 the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the original $8 million was three years. I thought it was 3 or 4 years.
Can we see a breakdown of that by year, just so we're clear about when, what the true story is?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have it. It's on the other email.
You don't have to pull it up right this second, I don't think. Yeah, you can just, if you want to just email it, that's perfect.
Great.
And then, you know, if you get it to Amber, she can get it to the rest of the committee.
Great. Okay.
I appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and start off with the rest of the prior period adjustments, I think would be a good point. So for the purposes of the financial statements, the 12 was everything from 2021 and prior, so we will chart that out for you. The van premium right above that, the $444,774. So vans are one-year terms, so the premiums should be recognized as revenue in the current year that they're issued. So that would be adding to the fund balance, should have added last year.
Mm-hmm.
The last number here, the 5.754 million, that was related to GASB 84, which essentially turns your agency funds into a custodial fund. And so what that basically represents is the county has city school taxes as well as central school taxes. Because county does not make the city school whole for 2 years. So essentially those are not the county's taxes at that point. Once the county makes the school district whole, then it becomes the receivable of the county at that point. These city school taxes were factored into the deferred tax revenue calculation, which ultimately lowered your fund balance by $5.7 million. So we had to go back and recalculate what it should have been last year versus what it is this year, and that ended up increasing the fund balance by $5.7 million. So overall, it nets down to your general fund having a prior period adjustment, reducing fund balance by $5.9 million is the net.
Mm-hmm.
The other two prior period adjustments relate to the same entity, which is the tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, at the county, it looks like it has been reported as a governmental fund. We also perform audits of other counties, and they, based on the relationship with the tobacco with the county, it really should be reported as an enterprise fund. So we took off the fund balance of the $2.3 million. As an enterprise fund, it is full accrual. So we do have to record the bonds payable on there, which would essentially, that's what the 36.9 quite jumped.
And the reason we suggested that is because when you take out tobacco bonds, if you remember when you securitized the money, they said the county wouldn't be ultimately responsible for those that debt if it wasn't able to be repaid from your the settlement money. When you show it as a governmental fund, it was being added into your debt and shown as county debt.
Right.
So our suggestion was record it like an enterprise fund, separate that debt away from your regular GO bonds. Let them stand on their own in the notes so that somebody didn't say, well, you've been absorbing them. And this way we thought, you know, most counties think that's a little less exposure. Because you know that if there's a default, they're going to sue the counties. So we just thought it was a better way to present it.
So that summarizes all of the prior period adjustments that we posted during this audit.
Before we move on, can I just confirm that this isn't material enough to require us to redo our previous years, right?
So the prior period adjustment basically restates the opening fund balance, but you wouldn't need to reissue.
We wouldn't need to reissue it.
No, we basically show it as that way.
Okay.
And we also add a footnote to explain it.
All right.
This chart will be in the footnote of the financial.
Excellent.
So I did provide a preliminary fund balance chart. This basically breaks out the fund balance categories in the draft financial statements. On the draft, we just show non-fundable, restricted, assigned, and unassigned. So this kind of goes into a little bit more detail about the different types of restrictions you have. We did obtain analysis on each of these restrictions. Your non-spendable is essentially earmarked already. They're prepaid expenditures considered non-spendable. Inventory is also considered non-spendable. If you're you did have a lease receivable, but your receivable ended up being less than your deferred inflow, just based on the way it's calculated out being amortized, if it had been greater, you would see a lease non-spendable there as well. You do have some restricted items. Restricted would be legally restricted, third-party restricted, or through legislation. So these are the ending balances as of December 31st, 22 for those items within the general fund. You can also see that debt service has restricted for debt service. So all of them funds within the debt service fund are restricted for future debt service payments. So that ends your total restricted at $5.3 million. Then you have some assignments. Your purchases on order would be your purchase orders, your encumbrances that you have earmarked to carry over to next year. You have some jail commissions, tourism, and then the designated for subsequent year's expenditures is what you have included in your 2023 budget to balance your 23 budget. So you can tie that out to next year's budget. That leaves your total assigned at $9.6 million, and then your unassigned ends at $114.8 million.
And that's after the prior period investment?
Correct. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So included in this unassigned value is the employee contributions to health care premiums, the premium equivalents?
So right now it's sitting as a balance. I believe it's sitting as a balance sheet item.
Are you recommending that there be an internal service fund for that?
Yeah, so if you look at the draft that we have, that was there's three things that are that still have to be done. So one is the audit of the leases. One is grossing up the custodial revenue and expenditures, so we could report that, and then also pulling up the self-insurance fund. So if you look on page 17 and 18 of the packet that we provided to you, we showed you kind of what it would look like right now. There are zero balances, but we would essentially gross up the revenue, the charge for services, as well as the operating expenses within here. We did get an IBNR calculation, so we have to include that in here as well.
But I want to clear something up. We didn't recommend it. I believe somebody from your staff asked the question of how we've seen it presented in other municipalities, and then it was kind of requested that we break it out. So it wasn't that we recommended it. I think the question started from your department.
Thanks for that clarification. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Once we have the numbers finalized, we would prefer to come back and talk about the variances, the significant changes, budget to actual at that point. So we're working towards towards getting those.
Appreciate it. Does anybody have any further questions, either from the executive's office, comptroller's office, or Peter?
I have to take some time.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Me too. Yeah. All right.
And remember, your fund balance is exclusive of the ARPA money, right? You still have money on the unearned side?
Correct. They just don't have money.
So you still have unearned ARPA money that's out there that's not flowing to your fund balance. So
okay.
Your fund balance is very high.
Yeah. I know the opioid settlement is restricted. There is still a long-term piece. You're sitting as a receivable and a corresponding deferred inflow, so over time that will be recognized as revenue. If it's unspent, it will fall into restricted until it's being spent.
Okay. Is there a time limitation on that?
Opiates?
Sure.
Some of them are paid out over 18 years. That's yeah, so they're scheduled for different settlements.
Okay.
It's restricted in terms of use, and it's restricted by settlement. It's not all blanket, so...
There's not a time use on it, but it's what they did is they set up a payment schedule, and New York State decided that they wanted you to record the full amount of the receivable and then draw it down so that you had a full picture.
Okay, thank
you. There were just a couple other open items, I think. You were doing work on leases, I think, for the chair. And then there was the MD&A and then the soil and water audit. So.
Yeah. So the leases we did receive, I think they contracted with Bonadio, which is another accounting firm.
Okay.
So we were provided the final schedules late Tuesday, so we have to go through and do a sample test that. So that's still open. We are still waiting on the final CISA. I know the commissioner's office is working with the department to try to clarify exactly the expenditures versus the revenue aspect. And then for the soil and water, we are working with the component auditor, so I reached out to them. They did say their time frame was November 15th, so I'm just trying to expedite that a little bit more, let them know that we want it issued as soon as possible, but it all depends on that.
Can I ask who's doing soil and water, the audit?
Nugent and Hausler.
Okay.
I'm assuming with these changes, then the end date for the final report is changing. Do you have an idea?
So we have to wait until all the component units are issued in order to include it in our report. We can't issue a date sooner than the component units, so it would be the last component unit.
Okay.
And then when all that is done, we send a final draft to the finance department, who drafts an MD&A. Mm-hmm. Once that MD&A is sent in, we proof it again just to make sure. We don't edit the words, it's yours. Mm-hmm. But what we do is make sure all the numbers correspond to what we have in the report. Then it can go final.
Thank you.
And we are currently working on that part. So, mm-hmm. I mean, soil and water is not going to be a material change.
Do you have the statistical section yet?
So I spoke with the commissioner's office, and I think most of it is done. They're tweaking a couple of them. Some of the schedules come directly from the financial statements, both government-wide and mm-hmm. fund level. So we'll be working with them kind of hand-in-hand on getting those information.
Mark?
Could you walk us through a little bit of the Ulster County Development, Economic Development Alliance, proprietary fund?
So the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance is audited by UHY, which is a separate engagement. I would imagine that they would also come and present their report, I would think. So I believe this is still not issued final yet as well. There were some last-minute changes to these numbers. So we did take these directly from their draft audit report. It looks like they had a transfer in and out for a property. I think the commissioner office probably speaks more to that. They did have some tax and utilities in the expense item, as well as some federal aid for a grant and some rental income between the county. And then the balance sheet, you can see that there's about $7 million in assets. There is a receivable due to due from between the county and the UCEDA related to the Tech City East property. You can see that there's a due to other funds for about $5.2 million. So that's due back to the county.
What are the other consequences to missing the single audit deadline, the 9:30 single audit deadline that we should be aware of?
So for the purposes of the, I guess, future single audits, you have to, you would no longer be considered a low-risk oddity. So generally as a low-risk oddity, we could get 20% coverage through the testing of the major programs. When you become a high-risk oddity, we now have to audit 40% coverage. So it impacts the single audit as far as the audit testing. Generally, we don't see, historically, I don't think we've seen anybody lose any funding for that. Usually, the granting agencies will reach out, just inquire about the status, and as long as you keep them up in communication, let them know that it's being worked on, generally.
And does that go away if next year we do everything on time? Is it just a one-year status change?
I think it might be two.
2 years.
Yeah.
So the component units we're waiting for right now are UCEDA and Soil and Water. Is there anybody else?
I believe those are the only two. I'm waiting on some component unit letters that need to be signed by the component unit auditors, but I believe those are the only two.
Yeah, I think UCEDA's just waiting for the board
to accept it.
Okay.
Soil and Water, I think.
Right. And we did the task, so that's done. And then, so I think Soil and Water is the only one that's really helpful.
Resource Recovery Agency?
Yes, I believe those are.
Yes,
Peter?
Will being in the high-risk category demand a higher price for an audit for the next 2 years?
So I believe in the engagement fee we did include a number of major programs. I don't know if it's two or three. I'll have to double check.
If those major programs get us to the 40%, we're good. If we have to do another program, it's, I forget what we quote, but it's usually somewhere in between.
Because we're about to go into budget season.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I'll highlight, I'll send the engagement letter with that section. Amber, before you're on.
Perfect. Are there any more questions?
I think I just want to conclude by just thanking the commissioner's office. I really appreciate all the hard work. It was a lot of unexpected situations that arose this year, so worked through all of the open items that we had to go through, so I appreciate that, and Amber as well, so thank you so much.
We have to kind of give it back to them because she's worked tirelessly over the last several weeks to get it to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I just, on behalf of the legislature, we've been very impressed with your work and your services, you know, especially compared to our last two auditors that we've had. I think that there's a more completeness. I think that even at the table, I've been at the table with several other auditors in my time here, which is now ending, so yeah, I'm leaving it to the end. Yeah, but, you know, the professionalism, the thoroughness is really appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Right.
I appreciate that.
All right, well,